Welcome to the GoTo Podcast. Each episode covers the brightest and boldest ideas from the world's leading experts in software development. Tune in for practical lessons, compelling theories, and plenty of inspiration. GoTo gathers the brightest minds in the software community to help developers tackle projects today, plan for tomorrow, and create a better future. Stay up to date with the latest in tech through GoTo's top-rated events held online and in person in cities like Amsterdam, London, Copenhagen, and Chicago, and by subscribing to the GoTo Conferences YouTube channel, where you can find thousands more high-quality dev talks. Learn more at gotopia.tech.
Hello and welcome. It's GoTo Book Club time. And my name is Barbara, but that's really not the important part because I'm here with Larissa. She wrote a great book. I'm really excited to tell you all about it while asking her great questions. So before we start, Larissa, short wrap up. Who are you? What are you doing? Where are you? Give us a rundown, please.
Oh, this is the most difficult question.
Who yes, I know. That's
So let's go. I'm Larissa Visingireva. I'm software engineer and have multiple years of engineering career. I have a PhD in data engineering. Currently, I'm working on the intersection of military AI and defense tech. And right now, I'm sitting in Ukraine.
That's why we needed to close the window.
Exactly. We had to close the window because the air alerts are too loud to interfere with this glorious podcast.
Yep. And I think that brings us directly into the book you wrote, because like it's a kind of like from Ukraine war to the AI engineer's guide to surviving. The AI Act, and I want to start with my first and probably one of the only criticisms I have, and I want to get that out early. I have two criticisms. First of all, the criticism is Larissa is not introducing her correctly because in my perception, and not only me, she is and will always be my godmother of ML Ops.
Oh my God. You took this again. So I still remember you introduced me so on stage last year at our Women in Data and AI Festival in Berlin. Yes. So I was, oh my God, now I have to fill that role. Yeah, Thank you.
You fill out this role really, really, really easily. That's kind of like why I gave you that name, because of my perception being the one who's for many years now in charge developing strategies, but also implementing. My big pet peeve is always, where's my ops team? Where is it? I need it. And I started over 25 years ago, there was not even data versioning and all of that. So I feel how important ops is. And that's why I gave you the title. So that's the first criticism. We're still working on the whole introduction part you see here. The second introduction criticism part is, and that ties over to the whole situation currently, I think the title of the book is off. And I told you up that before that I'm really not happy with the book. And to our audience, if you now think, yeah, surviving the AI Act, is not my problem, that exactly is the reason why I think the title is off. Cut off the AI Act part, even if we go a little bit into it today and understand it, but from a hopefully different perspective than a classical legal, it's the AI engineering's guide to surviving the next 5 to 10 years, because there will a hell lot of work be on our shoulders. And Larissa's book will give you the one thing you need to get through to that. But before I criticize more, I want to get into the meat and all of the backstory is, how did we end up with this book?
You know, Barbara, so I'm really grateful for this criticism. I don't see it as a criticism, but I see it as a compliment, because this statement can be made only by a person who understands and who really read this book. So thank you for reading this book. Thank you for reading my book. And so back to your question, how we end up writing this book. Before I wrote this book, there is a write-up, which is a website. Yeah. So I created the mlops.org, ml-ops.org.
Yeah.
And this website ended up become a Bible of yeah. MLOps. So, you know, I'm
a mother of MLOps.
What I can do is so I can write a Bible of MLOps. So let's go. and you know, and in the meantime, so there was enough books about machine learning engineering, great books from people who are really aware of what they are talking about. A lot of books from Google engineers who wrote about reliable machine learning. And for example, a book about machine learning design patterns, written by Google folks. Excellent books. So, and I didn't have that urgency to write another book. And one day I woke up and, you know, when we wake up, so we go into our LinkedIn feed. And one day I was like quite shocked why everyone is screaming about the EUI Act. So it was a huge and quite emotional.
Hmm.
So, and I was thinking, okay, so what the hell is the EUI Act? So, and after like light looking up on the internet, so, you know, EUI Act sounds like a legal stuff, boring, whatever. And then I was just, you know, okay, well, give me a summary about the EUI Act. So, and I looked into this summary, high level summary. So I realized one thing. So if you think about the compliance with the EUI Act. So you can think about like a roughly 10 steps,
yes,
which you have to perform. And the legal, like law related stuff, just, you know, last 2 points.
Yeah.
So, and the remarkable part about this compliance with the EUI Act was it is an engineering problem. So the EUI Act mandates us, if we want to deploy, put our AI system into the market, so you have to provide data quality. You have to guarantee data and AI governance. You have to guarantee the trustworthiness and you know, ethical fairness, you know, all this stuff. And then, I'm reading, you have to provide documentation. And I was like, oh my God. So, you know, finally, the law enforces people to write technical documentation about the AI system. So, and now, and at this point, I just realized why people are freaking out about the EUI Act. Because from what I saw outside at the former clients and, you know, projects, so, you know, all that stuff, documentation of process, documentation of AI systems, data governance, data quality management, metadata management is literally absurd.
Yep.
So for anyone who is not aware about the EUI Act, EUI Act marks every AI product with a ZE mark. So like every electronic product will have this mark. And so literally you can understand, you can see AI product like electronic product. So it have to be safe and it has to provide quality. So that's it. And how do we provide quality in AI products? We start with the data. And then we go into the model engineering, and then we go into the operational part and post-deployment, like monitoring and whatever. So basically, we're talking about MLOps.
Yes.
Machine learning operations in its nutshell.
And I think that that's the important part here for most of like, if you are non-EU or don't never have a look at the EU AI Act, it's a risk-based approach. So it's not a technical approach, and that's kind of like throwing people very off because you have to kind of classify by risk. And if you're above a certain risk level, it's kind of like also not deployable except of certain situations. And there is not a kind of like that is like you're good if you do just this algorithm or this algorithm. So it's a just risk-based with an open architecture. And the discussion, and I feel you totally every time AI comes up, it's like a full room of legal discussion. And then you're sitting there like, yeah, but legal is literally the last step. And if we don't have anything else, how should legal? And I love my lawyers, and I have like the main lawyer who works for us has even his PhD in cybersecurity, but still his talk is, I'm a lawyer, I'm not an engineer. So even if you have technical advanced lawyers, they're always kind of like, we are the last step. And in every regulation, it's totally weird out that it's the other way around. That's kind of like legal comes in first, and then we should kind of like, but where is? And I think that's kind of like the big takeaway, and why I said kill out the EU AI Act. In an age of today, you need all of that. You need MLOps. You need documentation. Okay, let's be honest, because of the missing of documentation, I'm flown in around the world to fix models, because guess what? If there were documentation, I probably have not flown in to fix it. And my business model has to be rethought.
Don't tell anyone about documentation.
Don't use the book. I have to
Don't read the book. Don't read the book. So otherwise, Barbara will rethink your business model.
Oh, no. I think there's enough room for still for the rest. But, and that's so the important takeaway for me. And while reading it, funnily enough, I read it on the plane to San Francisco, flying into it to a US client. So nothing to do with the UAI Act from their side, but still going through the book, it's kind of like, yes, that's the correct way. And that makes sense. And that makes sense. And that's why I'm like, want to get engaged in you to kind of like, hey, kick out the UAI Act. It's a great book to really guide you through where, when we talk about not prototyping, and I think that's another big takeaway, this book helps you from taking your prototypes, your MVPs, to full prod and to scale. And let's be honest, if you look at the current discussion, everyone is prototyping and nearly none gets full prod and scale right. Yes, because guess what? It's an operational engineering question to get, especially with probabilistic systems, which are the baseline of every AI system, is the hardest part to do. It's not building the prototype. It is getting to full prod and scale. And without a guideline how to do that, you will fall flat on your face and knees and stop praying or whatever you need to get it going. It won't work. After reiterating and hopefully getting everyone in why you really should buy this book now, there's another reason why you really should buy this book. And okay, Larissa and I are probably team... I'm a mathematician. Yes, I studied also finance and psychology, but I'm a mathematician at heart. So I love a good structure. I die for a good structure and a good clipboard with a checklist. And Larissa had to read my mind because, darling, I stopped counting, but how many tables and checklists are roughly in your book? And I'm loving every one of these. But first of all, how did we end up here? And do you have an idea of how many are in the book?
Okay, now I understand. So the reason I wrote this book just because of this interview with you, Barbara. Well, answering your second question, no, I don't know.
Okay, someone read the book and comment please below and count. You get a coffee with us or something. You're a coffee giveaway.
Don't have a promise. I have to.
I can deliver the coffee. I'm good at coffee cooking. I'm just an overpriced coffee cooker. I deliver on the coffee.
Okay, but you know, so like, wow, so dinner with Larissa and Barbara. So we have to think about this. Well, I was thinking about this book on like a meta level, and basically, this book is about tackling the complexity.
Yeah.
How can we tackle something really huge, complex, and like incomprehensive by taking the parts of the whole? So how can we eat the elephant?
The elephant, the salami, whatever food, which is big.
Exactly, slice by slice. Yeah. And how do you understand something really complex? How do you overview something really complex? By understanding the parts of the complex process. And so I understand why so many times the processes are absent in the industry. So they're complex. But luckily, we have enough frameworks. Mm. We have enough methodologies already there to apply and to get an overview of something which is complex, like a machine learning AI project, data engineering projects. And my favorite part is the machine learning canvas, which is developed by Louis Dorard. And I was partially involved into the development process of the next version of the canvas. So I'm in exchange with Louis. And yeah, so, and I think this is the most easier way, collaborative way, how can we design machine learning projects and how can we understand, you know, so like the application of this canvas it works in both ways. Yeah. So you can design a machine learning system from scratch, or you can take existing systems and try like to understand the existing, which will be like a black box, like a huge, scary black box for people who enter the project by analyzing, by asking questions about one concrete piece. And when we talk about machine learning and AI systems, so we usually have parts of these systems like data engineering. We start with a problem understanding.
Yeah, problem understanding.
Exactly. So what business problem we are actually solving? So before we say machine learning or AI, so what business problem is there? So what we're trying to solve? Optimize. Improve, making more efficient performance. Right. So, and then we go into the next part will be data engineering. So no data, no AI.
Yep.
So I think everyone should learn about this.
And repeat after us. No AI without data. Data is a necessity for AI. Breathe in, breathe out and repeat 3 times a day, at least, please.
And you know, and for someone who did a PhD in data engineering, data quality management, and developed error detection algorithms, you can imagine that I know what I'm talking about, and still wondering that what it's always a surprise for people that data quality is essential for model quality, and this is basically what UX requires. So. Folks, give us, please, AI products of good quality.
Yes.
And it should be automatically translate, okay, good AI products, good quality, data of good quality. And what does it mean? Everything involved. Format, normalization, data, error detection, error correction, whatever. But it's huge part.
Yep.
It will take longer. It will be more painful. It will take a lot of efforts, but it's huge.
Yes.
To guarantee data quality. Plus, we have all this, data governance part, which is also an engineering problem, but also an organizational and team aspect here is involved. Anyway, so the next part is model training.
Yes.
Right. So, and model and the inference. So you see all these parts of which are involved into machine learning in AI projects. So, and this is kind of complex because it's always machine learning projects or products or machine learning models. Let's keep it this way. Machine learning product models are always part of the whole software engineering, software system.
Yeah.
So they don't exist alone. So there's always parts of this, like a system in system.
Yeah.
Right. So this increases the complexity and to decrease the complexity to understand. So we need frameworks. This is why I use this canvas. Mm-hmm. This is why for processes I used the CRISPR-Now.
Yep.
Cross-industry
standard process for former data mining, now machine learning. And that old that I started out with data mining.
Right. So it was a follow-up process from data mining. So because at that point, data mining
was the term for data science, what we use today.
Exactly. So we had to adapt it to quality requirements. This was like this is like a perfect fit for fulfillment of requirements. I just took everything what was there on the market. You know? I took all the frameworks and, you know, and integrated them into the requirements of EY Act. Okay, one intellectual exercise which I did within the book was what you read in all these articles, and legal requirements. So they're indeed they are legal high level requirements, and the intellectual exercise what was made in the book was to translate these legal requirements into the engineering requirements. So and luckily, so we have everything there. So there is already academic research about quality attributes and translating the legal requirements into the quality attributes of the AI system. So we automatically get the engineering practices for implementing AI systems.
And I want to reiterate on that point, because for me currently, especially in any C-level discussion I'm having, that point always gets lost in translation on many levels. It's kind of like, hey, we either have a regulation, call it EU AI Act, or the other say around. And for me, it's kind of like, can we please all agree that we want to deliver good quality products based on anything machine learning AI products? Then we need AI governance. And then suddenly you're in a very weird discussion where, yes, and I told you I studied psychology, so yes, transformation of the whole org is a topic. But we're suddenly kind of like now it's in that weird space between like, hey, governance and legal frameworks. And like, guys, that's engineering. It's a mathematical and an engineering problem. And if we do not deliver on that, you can make up the biggest framework. We cannot measure it. And that is a nightmare to the beginning. And I think many people, or especially corporations now, suddenly are entering the age of AI and understanding, freakish hell, that's a math and an engineering problem. And that's why I would say your book has like two target groups in my perception. One are non-technical leaders. And the non-technical leaders of any department need to read the book to understand to talk to their teams. And the other way around, the teams need to read the book to have like proper understanding what their stakeholders want. And you won't find code in that book. And I think engineers will be thrown off by that. But guys, Lars and I, we don't know in which stack you're working. So that would not make even sense. Yeah, most of us probably end up in a Python world, but that's not even the reality of like how your architecture looks, how your code stack looks, and how much technical and documentation depth you have. So throwing code around is not the answer. The answer are proper frameworks, and you will find them proper laid out for you. And it also, the book is the big missing part in my perception of translating. I always tell people data science is a team sport, and team sports means everyone at the table. Non-technical, technical stake, everyone needs to have an understanding what we're doing here. But the big thing is always kind of like, we're talking so different languages.
Exactly.
To keep that gap closing, we need a proper language. And the proper checklist and frameworks and the three big frameworks you will find are the canvases, the CRISP ML, and the smart car. So these are probably, I would say, the best in class, working for many years. Just spoiler, the CRISP is so old that it's from 1996. So that's the original. But it's battle run. It's battle tested in the best way possible, so that it gets going into a transformation where we are today. And that, I think, is the essence of the book. Read it, because it will give you the language and the translation.
You are the best advertiser for this book. So, okay. In general, so it's the approach how to think about machine learning projects. It doesn't matter. So, do you have to comply? And one message what I tried to give my readers is proactively.
Yeah.
To act, not like afterthought, don't leave it. Take this framework, take the CRISP ML. So understand each phase, understand what do you need, and just write or adopt, expand this checklist for you.
Yeah.
So what you see is just, you know, like the base. So, and take this and adjust for your project. And this is what I wanted to give. I want to give a tool, a framework for people who want to tackle complex projects.
Complex project, because like the current stage is we want to and see that every day. We throw tools and techniques and models at problems, but a singular tool never solved a holistic problem. That's just exactly not how that works. And especially in a world where data science, we always have a problem data model match, which we need to compute and calculate. Yeah. And that means we need definition for problem, for data, and for model. And the missing gap in many of these stuff is just quality. And that's why I'm telling everyone, like, ignore the UAI act in the title, because it's about like how to survive. And I mean literally surviving. Part of my job is fixing stuff, which means someone developed something, the team, whatever reason, team moved, we're not that many people in that whole world, and then they're gone. And then there's no documentation, there is no track, there is no log, there's nothing there. And then you have to figure out, and no, usually you see reverse engineering does not even help anymore because like too many runs, too many retrainings, and then you sit there and have to tell your clients, great, we have to build up from the ground again. And the missing link is always a quality understanding. The missing link is always a documentation understanding. And as much as I'm sometimes annoyed about certain parts of the UAI Act, I think, and that's one thing where organizations really can make a difference, be proactive with this stuff. And
exactly,
Larissa's book is a good helping guideline for everyone in the org. And that's why I'm so iterating on the non-technical part, because it can help you. We need good POs. We need good deep dive technical leaders, because you have the business understanding. Engineering makes funny stuff sometimes, and I can pretty stories about what happens if physicists build conversion models and how they think of good the marketing and sales department of their companies are. They have a very high perception about what you're doing there. So be nice to these people. But that's exactly what the missing part sometimes is. It's kind of like the mismatch of the early beginning. And if you think about quality in every step and think about like not only quality, but that in the end means thinking quality in every step means compliance by design, because then compliance can easily kind of like sign exactly off. Legal is fun. General counsel will be happy. And I think that's one of the things your book really brings out, like the point of, hey, we need to think it as an engineering problem, not a legal problem.
Exactly. So, and still, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not like a legal. And this book is not a legal advice. But honestly, it's an engineering problem, and you have to solve an engineering problem before you solve the legal problem. Yeah. And I have to say that I really enjoyed writing this book. So everyone was like, oh my God, you're writing a book. So my condolences. I mean, no, this is the most rewarding part of writing this book. I had really great experience with Aurelian. By the way, so the festival, which we mentioned in the beginning, I had my technical reviewer, also woman from the festival. So it was
the Wonder Woman who wrote the books. That's why the golden cup is here today.
Exactly. So I met you because of the festival. So you know, it was a female project, and it was also the book was partially written in Ukraine.
So it's a different kind of battle tested.
You nailed it. Right. So, and yes, and I enjoyed. I also enjoyed because of the research what I did regarding the documentation. The most boring part about software engineering project is documentation. Everyone right. And then I realized that wow, this like documentation depth is also an engineering problem.
Yes.
because the all the requirements which you will read in EY Act regarding the documentation, what should the documentation include? So when I was researching all this stuff, so I just realized, oh, it's basically metadata.
Yeah.
Metadata about your data pipelines, about so you have to different implement data versioning, you have to implement code versioning, you have to implement model versioning, pipelining, all the hyper parameters, when it was run, what data was used, what data quality, all the metrics. And I was like, wow. So if you ensure that you implemented a solid metadata management system, you basically you can automate it to produce proper documentation for your system. Voila! Surprise, surprise! So, and you know, if you go in this disciplined way, so you basically you cannot do anything wrong. Hmm. And it's not about the EY Act. EY Act gives you all the requirements.
Yeah,
but in a nutshell, so in the core, it's about surviving, so making AI projects sustainable.
I think that's a good point to like wrap up our great interview. Thank you so much, Roger, for your time. I would highly recommend to buy the book as a hard copy because you will read it fast, but it will be your companion for probably the next years and you will go post-it style. So buy the hard copy. And then carry it around in your next meetings. Thank you so much, Larissa, nice. For your time, not only for your time today, but also for writing up a book, which I think is really a survival guide for the next years, and especially in full prod on scaling everything everyone is currently building. And I think there are some cool ideas how you can automize, agentize, and throw around stuff in the future with that. So we're happy to see how that will play out in the real world. Thank you so much.
Barbara, thank you so much for being my interviewer. Thank you so much for being with me and for reading this book.
Yeah, you're very welcome. It was a great read on the plane to San Francisco.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the GoTo Podcast. Head over to gotopia.tech to discover lots more content from the brightest minds in software development.